My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, you're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Arroway, and we're at Roberta's Pizza, the home of Heritage, as usual. But today, we're not going to talk about many cheesy, savory things. Instead, we're going to talk about delicious, sweet things, because my guests today are the founders, cooks, creators, and now authors who founded Little Bit Sweets, the Brooklyn-based wonderful candy company. Hey, guys.
Hey, hey. Kathy.
It's Jen King and Liz Gutman.
Yes, indeed.
Gutman. Got it. So you guys were last on the show like 2 years ago, or around, I don't know, 1.5 years ago, right, you know, close to when you guys were starting up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely, we were definitely in a different place, however long ago it was.
It's amazing. And now you have a cookbook, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys have to check it out. But also, I have to share an anecdote, because I was just in New Jersey last week for Thanksgiving. And, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, we went to this Whole Foods, this humongous Whole Foods. And, you know, my parents' town, or the next town over, whatever. And it was like being in Brooklyn. There was McClure's Pickles, there was Mass Brothers Chocolates, there was Anarchy in a Jar Jams, and there was also you guys' candy bars.
Woo-hoo!
So, amazing. It blew my mind. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is insane.
Yeah.
So
we agree.
Thank you for coming here and taking a break from making delicious things, because I know it's the busy season right now, mm-hmm. and you guys have lots of candy to make.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But no, we're happy to be here. It's nice to take a break and, of course, ogling all the pizza that's surrounding us.
Yeah, there is an amazing calzone literally like 3 feet away from me, separated by a mere pane of
cheesiness.
Glass.
Cheesiness. So you guys must get cravings for non-sweet things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's almost always salty.
Liz and I actually have, our sweet tooth is very different at different times.
Your
Liz's
sweet teeth?
Are yeah, like respective her sweet teeth. Tooth, Liz's sweet tooth is more in the afternoon and evening.
Well, okay, here's my thing. For breakfast, mm-hmm. I'm very much like an egg sandwich, or, you know, maybe oatmeal or some, like, piece of toast kind of gal.
Instead of a pancake.
Exactly. Yeah. And I take my coffee with like a little bit of milk, never any sugar, you know, but come the afternoon, I'll be sneaking into the kitchen to grab little scraps of whatever candy bar Jen's cutting up, or sneak a sea salt caramel or whatever. And Jen's exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
She goes straight for the Danish, and she has
I put a lot of cream and sugar in my coffee, so it pretty much tastes melted coffee ice cream.
But then I don't
really eat sweets for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, it's like my little quota. But I love like cream cheese Danish and like any kind of like fruit tart. I could start off like easily with a fruit tart in the morning.
Yeah, I'm like fine. Cake, man. Just, I will eat cake anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. Well, now that I think about it, you guys have a lot of salty and sweet combinations, too. The pretzels, the beer, chocolate, pretzel, crunchiness of awesomeness are pretty darn satisfying for both those persuasions.
Well, we put salt in everything just because salt, you know, as you know, enhances everything. So, you know, if it's a caramel, if it's a cookie dough, the salt just makes it that much more special. And you just taste everything a lot more.
Yeah. Well, and sweet, you know, sugar isn't a flavor. It's just sweet. It doesn't taste like anything.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever possible, we cut back on sugar or add a little salt or something that's smoky or bitter, or, you know, like the beer, mm-hmm. that gives it kind of a nice malty note. You know, we try and keep it interesting. And, you know, sometimes that means bringing in some savory stuff like potato chips or pretzels.
Yeah, totally. But these ingredients, I mean, you guys make it seem so accessible. I love it because it's, I mean, you guys are pros. Let's face it. You went to the French Culinary Institute and graduated with a degree in confectionery, right? Both of you?
No, we didn't. We graduated with, you know, the grand diploma of being a pastry chef. But actually, you know, we were taught in the classic French way. So you didn't actually do a lot of confectionaries. We did
caramel mousse. Sorry.
Caramel mousse. But we didn't, we had a kind of learn and do it on our own, the whole making candy bars, doing different, you know, like the popcorns and stuff. So that was more on they don't teach you how to really do caramel popcorn or griddles. So
yeah, confectionery isn't a big part of the curriculum.
Gotcha.
I mean, really anywhere. It's just not part of a classic pastry.
It's sad, but it's almost more of a dying art. Like, well, you find smaller and fewer people who are actually doing it in the classic sense of, you know, if it's candying whole fruit or just doing one or two things. So it's not a very, like, people take a ton of classes in how to do it.
Yeah. Well, and it's, yeah, I mean, as a business, it's not, it doesn't have the highest profit margins ever. And because people are so used to getting, like, commodity candy at the drugstore, at, you know, 7-Eleven, whatever, just grabbing something for a buck, where, you know, stuff that's handmade, like the stuff that we do and like the stuff you can do at home, like we have the recipes in the book, you know, it takes a lot more care and time. But when you make it with real ingredients, it tastes so much better. I mean, there's no comparison. It's like night and day.
I know. And it is a fine art because each piece of candy is very different recipes, very different techniques, and there's a lot of components oftentimes combined in them. It's a crazy amount of technique.
I mean, I like to think of it, you know, we get so many, like, why are your candy bars so expensive? But I'm like, well, when you look at a, like, bonbon or a truffle, it's usually like filling within casein chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, a candy bar, most of the times our candy bars are two, if not more, layers. So that's three different components going in there. It's usually a cookie or a ganache or different types of ganache. And then if you were to even break that into four pieces, it's still less than buying four bonbons. But again, with Liz says, it's like commodity candy where a lot of times people, you've even seen like the Snickers ads. It's not even about enjoying a Snickers. It's you're tired,
and
eat
you're
a candy
hungry,
bar, and you'll be fine.
Gosh.
So people grab, you know, candy bars for like that sugar rush, or you're at your office and you're tired, so you just break open a candy bar and eat it. And what we're trying to do is not that, to make it special. Like, if you're going to eat a candy bar, then
it better be good.
Eat a really good one that has real chocolate and like stuff that hasn't been made 2 years before.
Right. Yeah, that has a shelf life.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy shelf life.
That's so true. Yeah, yours looks fresh. It looks homemade, but it looks really just refined in every way.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, in the book too, we actually have a fair amount of candy bar recipes. But we also have stuff for like super duper beginners. I mean, we really cover the spectrum.
What's a good beginner candy if I'm not like able to, I don't know, wrap my head around?
I would say the butter mints. We always tell people like that's the
things that melt in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that are probably the easiest. You probably already have all the ingredients at your house.
Easy.
It takes 5 minutes, and you know, again, I think people think about it as when you were young, after you had dinner at a restaurant, you saw those pastel colored things,
monstrosities.
Yeah, and when we've been making them and demoing it, and people are just utterly amazed at like how fast, how quick. They can be really cute. They're great gifts because you can put them in like little cello bags. You can put them in weck jars or little canisters. Mm-hmm. You can color them however way you want. You can flavor them however. We have like three variations.
Oh, yeah. Why
in
does it have to be mint?
Yeah,
right?
You can do chocolate. You can do coffee. You could use cinnamon oil. You can use like whatever you want.
Make chocolate mint, malt. You know, we do one that
pizza
has like
flavor.
Yeah. That might be a little gross.
Sorry.
Just because it's mostly sugar.
But again, you have probably all the ingredients at home.
Confectioner's sugar, right?
Softened, like slightly chilled butter, a little milk, and the flavor. I mean,
it's so it's like frosting.
Yeah, it's just it's like a dough.
Dollops
smart.
Of buttercream frosting.
Well, you can always just check out the book, which I'm holding in my hands, and it's so beautiful. And I love how you deconstruct stuff. That, I mean, I grew up on commodity candy, right?
We did. Like we most all did. Of us. Yeah.
Okay. So these things were very mysterious, but you guys break down how to enrobe a chocolate bar in chocolate. Like, it's just nothing. And it looks, I get it now. I see how it's done. It's,
yeah. Well, that
it
was,
can be done.
That was the idea, is people are so scared. Like, people have no problem baking cookies, mm-hmm. or, you know, going in and trying a recipe for a roast or whatever. But candy is still one of those things that people are like, oh, I can't do that. It's really scary. And it's really not at all.
Right. Because so, before it was an industrial food, it was a high...
It's very steeped in, like, family tradition. I think I know so many people...
Taffy pulling, like, parties.
Taffy pulling or... You know, they make rum balls every Christmas rum time balls. Or brittle. I mean, so it's very regional and it's very within, you know, different cultures. Like, you know, Europeans, a lot of Italian families, the marzipan and the European style nougat, where you see the terrone, you know, and I think, like, growing up, I grew up with a lot of sesame candies because my mom's Korean. So, you know, it was Which really interesting
like
when we did that
brittle,
research.
Right?
Yeah, sesame brittle or ginger candies, you know, a lot of that kind of thing. So it was fun to research the different, you know, where saltwater taffy and where, you know, chocolate was more or fruits and stuff like that. So it was really fun.
That's awesome. And I know you guys like to use ingredients that you can find and procure here. Easily, like, I don't know, some local beer, for instance.
Yeah, as much as possible. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you
sugar.
Know, we encourage that. But if you just go to your grocery store to buy beer, like, that's totally fine, too. We have a couple little, there are little boxes in there that are like Liz says, Jen says, just with different tips, you know, hints, troubleshooting. Sometimes it's just a little interesting bit of trivia.
And this is a great idea, making the fruit jellies instead of, you know, jams. Now that you know, and you have the sweet treat to use up your leftover fruit with.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in the agar jellies, too, you can use vegetables. You can use herbs. Like, we did a cucumber mint mojito jelly a few years back. That's really delicious.
I think I remember
And
that.
The agar ones are really nice because you actually... the pâte à feuille, what really makes it different is you have to cook everything down for a very long time. So it
you
has a very
it.
Cooked fruit taste. With agar, you really add the fruit juice or whatever you're using at the end. So it gives it a really fresh taste. So I really enjoy it when it comes with citrus because you have that really fresh orange juice taste or fresh lemon taste that doesn't have the kind of cooked, like, orange marmalade if you were
the
to do that.
The pâte à feuille, while delicious, I think it's kind of like fancy fruit... roll up stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's really like a slightly overcooked jam. It's the same process, the same general kind of idea.
Like apple butter, but for other fruits.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you took jam and you cooked it a little bit further and then cut it into squares, and it's delicious. And it's, you know, it's a very classical European, you know, pâte à feuille.
I'm learning so much from you guys.
We know all kinds of stuff about candy.
I know.
But also, like, it was really important to us that the book be very visual too, because I mean,
we're both visual people, and you know, going around and doing the book tour. You know, once people see it, they can just see, like, how fast and how easy it is. And, like, tempering chocolate's one thing. You can read about it, and sometimes it can be so overwhelming, but then you just see a person do it, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That was really easy.
Well, and there are tons of technique photos in there, too, like, step by step to show you exactly how stuff is done. And, you know, we wanted the tone to be accessible and encouraging. You know, we want people to go to get out of their comfort zones and try something new.
Like making marshmallows or something.
For example, which are, once you make them, surprisingly easy, crazy fun, really versatile. You can do all kinds of stuff with them. You know, we have a recipe for, like, Malamar cookies in there. So you can, like, bake off some cookies and pipe marshmallow on top. You
everyone
can just cut
loves them
into squares.
Those.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone loves those.
That's a real crowd pleaser.
But so also, marshmallow, when you taste one that's made homemade versus one that, you know, jet packed.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
it's just such a different jet puff. You know, even if you put it in hot chocolate, I mean, again, it's just so much more of a better treat. It's, like, so creamy and foamy, and then you just have the ones that, you know, you can buy at the supermarket.
They're, like, apocalypse proof.
For it being so easy to make, it's just worth it to make it your own.
Gosh, I didn't know.
And it's
and
a fun project to do.
With them.
Yeah, it's a fun project to do, too, with kids, if you have children, because it's very user friendly, and just to see the kids get so excited about like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I just made marshmallow. It's yeah. really.
Yeah, you just want to keep them away from the hot syrup. Yeah. But once everything's whipped and ready to go, go crazy. I would just be prepared for a lot of cleanup. Marshmallow yeah. is crazy oh, really? Sticky.
Well, yeah. yeah
I know. Mean, hot water will take you're all of it off, but it, you know, if you're not used to working with it, it will get like everywhere.
Well, that's fun though.
yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, and, you know, if you're bringing kids in anyway, like they love that stuff. Like mm-hmm. the whole point is to get your hands dirty a little
right,
bit.
Right. Right.
And what's great about the book too is we have a chart in the very front. Mm-hmm. You see the kind of tan pages there
yeah.
that has, it lists all the recipes in the entire book and then different criteria. Like, can you make it with kids? Does it ship well? Can you gift wow. it? Is it nutty, chocolatey, chewy, crunchy?
Oh, cute.
You know,
it's a checklist.
Exactly. So you can, you know, if you have something in mind, or you're craving something in particular, you can, you know, go through our little handy dandy checklist instead of having to flip through the entire book. It's a big book. There's a lot of stuff in there. And we actually use brilliant. The checklist too.
And I think one of the best things about the cookbook is that once you start to learn some of the basic principles of candy making, you can really become like your own Willy Wonka. So you can like personalize it to what you like. If you totally, really a nut person, if you really like salt, if you like bitter, you know how to do caramel then.
Right.
So that now you if can you go experiment. If you hate those
peanuts and everything, yeah. then...
You love peanuts or peanut butter, if you like cayenne pepper. I mean, this is something that you can really start to make your own and experiment once you understand, okay, well, I've done this a couple times.
Right.
Now I can experiment whatever way I want.
Like the pizza candy bar that I'm going to make.
Exactly. You let us know how that works.
Okay. works.
You just keep us posted.
Okay. All right. Let's cut to a quick little musical interlude while I ponder that and be right back with Jen and Liz from Litabit.
You're listening to The Dream by Cookies on heritageradionetwork.org.
Back on Let's Eat In. Today's guests, Litabit Sweets founders Jen and Liz, with their really fun cookbook called, I didn't read the whole cookbook name.
It's a long title.
Sorry. It's really cute though, and I think it expresses the fun that is shown throughout. It's called the Litabit Sweets Candy Cookbook, How to Make Truly Scrumptious Candy in Your Own Kitchen. Scrumptious is a great word. I don't know.
I agree. I think it's underused.
Yeah.
Luscious is a good one too.
And that would also apply to
indeed
to candy very well.
Scrumptious is a little, I don't know, it's a little more fun and bouncy.
It's cute. Yeah, exactly. So I know you guys have been on tour demonstrating how easy it is to make candies throughout the country, a mm-hmm. few cities, and you're going to do something back in your own town this weekend.
Heck yeah, one of our favorite places, the Brooklyn Kitchen, nice. This Saturday, 2 p.m., which mm-hmm. December 1st. Oh my God, it's almost December. Saturday, December 1st, 2 p.m., we're doing a demo and cookbook signing, and we'll be demonstrating three recipes from the book.
Oh, wow.
So you'll get, and we, you know, it's a nice mix. We'll do the buttermints, which we just talked about.
Awesome.
Bacon toffee.
Oh, of course.
Why not? Yeah, and then the Buckeyes as well.
And they have great bacon there.
Exactly. And so we'll be talking about chocolate tempering and, you know, mm-hmm. answering questions and all kinds of stuff. And you get a book with the ticket price.
That's awesome.
So, and then, you know, why we'll not? Be around afterwards to sign it and hang out and answer any candy questions that might come up.
Oh my gosh. Check out that event at thebrooklynkitchen.com. And what exactly are Buckeyes? Because they sound delightful. I know there's peanut butter involved.
Oh yes. They're amazing. What? It's like a peanut butter, what is it, cream cheese and...
Well, we put cream cheese, but traditionally it's more just butter and confectioner sugar with with peanut
butter. To give
a
little
butter.
Bit of something cream cheese
gives it a little
savory.
Bit of a tang, but it's Ohio, everyone in Ohio knows it.
Oh, okay.
Thus, people
That's
in
where
Michigan...
You're from?
Well, I'm from Michigan, I knew growing... I grew up with it, too. It's actually... the Buckeye is actually the mascot of...
Oh, yeah, the Buckeye suit.
Buckeye, yeah.
So
it's just it's supposed to resemble the Buckeye nut. So
it's a little round chestnut mm-hmm. looking thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with like a brown dot on top. So
oh,
what
cute.
You do
okay.
is you make the center, which takes 2 minutes to put together. Oops, sorry.
The center is the
peanut butter
and cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
Butter.
Butter, a little bit of salt.
Okay.
Obviously.
So it's like smooth and luscious.
Yeah. Exactly. And again,
scrumptious.
Exactly. All of these things. and if you don't like peanut butter or someone has an allergy or sensitivity or whatever, you can use almond butter. You could use cashew butter. I mean, you know, it gets a little pricey, but it's up to you and roll in the smaller if you want to do a bunch.
Makes a lot of candy.
It does make a lot of candy. Awesome. And the center keeps really well too. So you don't have to make it all at once. You can make half of it for a party and then save the other half for your holiday shindig next week or whatever.
Or give them away for holiday gifts.
Bring them into the office. People will go nuts.
Oh, that's right.
So you roll them into little balls and then you dip them most of the way in chocolate. So there's a little circle of peanut butter still peeking through. And mm-hmm. we put a little sea salt on top just for good measure.
Cool.
Optional.
All right. So I know you guys are turning around, but are there any other new recipes that you're going to break out with this holiday season you're tinkering around with?
Well, we're always tinkering around
the
for
recipes.
The company, but
yeah.
Right now we're kind of in just full production, so we don't
Panic
have
mode.
That much time
Panic
to really
mode.
Play around, but we always play around with like different candy bars or different caramel recipes.
Okay.
We did like a sweet potato and pepper caramel this year.
Oh, wow.
We did a chocolate
caramels,
mint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
the chocolate mint
bar.
One is awesome.
That's a good one.
And
for...
and an apricot chili one as well.
Yeah.
That one's
oh, yum.
Totally awesome.
So I can find these at like the holiday fairs and mm-hmm. markets that you guys will be at, like mm-hmm. the Brooklyn Fleas Holiday Fair.
We're actually not able to do that one this year. We'll be at New Amsterdam Market every Sunday through the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
The 23rd is the last day of New Amsterdam. So that's weekly on Sundays. And we're at the Union Square Holiday Market.
Oh, yeah, with the tents.
Every single day. Yeah, the big candy stripes.
Every single day until Christmas. I think it ends Christmas Eve.
Through Christmas Eve. I think it closes at like 4 on Christmas Eve. But that's probably your best bet in terms of finding stuff. Or at littlebitsweets.com, we ship all over the country. And you can find everything we make there as well.
And that Whole Foods in New Jersey. Find it.
Well, and a couple in the city, too. We're at Columbus Circle, 57th Street, Tribeca.
Any other states that the Whole Foods or anywhere else carries?
Connecticut. We're Connecticut. Darien, I know.
Mostly in the Northeast region.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't, we just expanded to a couple new stores. We have an interactive map on the website.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can like search to see what the closest one is to you. But we just, this week we're sending stuff sending some stuff to a store in Telluride, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
And we're in a couple stores in LA now, too, which is really exciting.
Are you going to bring the Buckeyes back to the Buckeye State anytime in the future, you think?
No, I don't even want to worry about packaging for those. So. No, we do a lot of stuff for, like, wedding. You know, a lot of people contact us for wedding favors.
Oh, gotcha.
So if that's something you really love, just contact us and we can talk about it.
Yeah. Customized. So I guess like a fresh product, you may as well keep it real local, keep it fresh, keep it in the markets
Yeah, we actually, use for our company, all our peanut butter is from Peanut Butter & Co.
Right.
We're very proud to...
They're the ones who have, like, the smooth operator.
The smooth operator. You know, I actually really like their maple peanut butter.
It's too sweet for me.
But, you know, we love to work with local companies. You know, Brooklyn Hard Candy, Salvatore Ricotta, the Brooklyn Brewery for the beer. So it's important for us to also, you know, work as much with as many local purveyors as you can. Just because chocolate and sugar... It's kind of hard to get too local.
Yeah, sure.
There's a price ceiling there. but yeah, I mean, I like to think those as our starring ingredients, like honey and the beer and all that stuff. And we just like to work with other small businesses, because, you know, it's usually a lot. I don't know. The experience is nicer because it's more personal and you kind of know who you're dealing with. And,
absolutely.
You know, we know that they make a great product. And, you know, I mean, it's very much a community. Like, running a small business can be very isolating and difficult. And so whenever you have a chance to meet someone else who knows all the crap that you're going through or has been there already or wants advice on stuff that you've been through, you know, it's just great to have that network of people, you know, that we've done business with. And we're happy to support, you know, their smaller operations, too.
I think that's exactly the spirit that has gotten you guys so far. And so I'm so excited, really. Like I first saw you guys at the Brooklyn Unfancy Food Show, way back when it was at Williamsburg, some random bar outside.
East River Bar.
And I don't know, you guys have just come such a far along.
It's been a crazy ride. I don't think when Liz and I started, we ever thought we would get this far. No. But
we always said, we were like, we would never start a business. And if we did, it would never be in New York City. And if we did, it would never be in food. so we did all of those things.
I think one of the most rewarding things has just been able to get to know so many different people. And Brooklyn's been an amazing community just to talk to other people and work with other people. So it's really been, you know, at times, sometimes a little bit of a burden, but mostly a blessing just to be able to do what we can do, what we do every day. So we're very lucky.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, congrats.
Thanks.
And before we go, I think I probably asked you guys this 2 years ago, or at least you, Liz.
Possibly.
Ultimate date meal, in your opinion, like if you had to have it tonight, what would you say, Jen?
A date meal, not just like by yourself.
I
really love sushi.
Okay.
I think, you know, on a date, it's really fun to sort of, you know, experiment and see
how a visual person.
Yeah, how risky they want to get, you know, like how adventurous they want to get. But also Japanese food is just so beautiful and clean and simple. And it's a perfect, well, I guess if you, just as long as it's not like cut too big, it shouldn't be too awkward to talk.
Yeah,
it can get interesting.
But yeah, I think sushi.
Sounds good. What do you think, Liz?
I would say anything like tapas, anything small plates, because I love sharing stuff and trying a little bit of everything. And I think that's a good way to gauge like exactly how adventurous they're willing to get. And
there's a lot of variety.
Exactly. So you don't get bored. You get to kind of graze. Like I enjoy grazing, so you don't feel like you need to finish a whole meal before the waiter gets pissed at you or whatever. You can kind of linger a little bit maybe. Anything like, you know, tapas in particular, but anything kind of shareable and small. Like Northern Spy would be a great place.
Yeah, they have a lot of small plates.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the perfect dessert for that, just lust-worthy meal?
I am much more, actually, ironically enough, a fruit person over a chocolate person. So I really love just a simple, like, baked apple tart or just, like, something very, very simple. It doesn't need to be a crazy tart. But just, you know, anything with good, like, pastry with a little baked fruit, and I'm pretty good. Or, you know, scoop a really good ice cream. It doesn't need to be very fancy for me.
Yeah, I would say, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but bear with me. I was texting Allison Robicelli last night, and she reminded me that creme brulee is like the sexiest dessert ever.
Totally.
When it's done well. I mean, the problem is so many places just slap it on a menu because they're like, oh, we can, oh, that's easy, whatever.
Right.
When it's done well, it's sublime. It's just rare that it's done well. Huh. But the the creaminess and cracking the shell and the textural difference between the... Yeah, man, she's working on her book, and she got creme brulee on the brain for me, because all last night I was like, man, now I really want creme brulee.
Totally. That sounds like a good one. It's kind of like a candy on the top after they torture it, too.
Yeah.
It's like a hard caramel or something.
Yeah, but if they do it right, it's nice and burny. You know, not like burnt, like bitter tasting, but caramelized and crispy. And you get the little vanilla flex when they use real vanilla bean. And
ooh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to look out for a good creme brulee. Or maybe make it myself.
Yeah, why not? We'll
see. When Allison's book comes out. That'll be next year's episode.
The creme brulee at Franny's is...
Oh, I know. That one is
ridiculously
amazing.
Ridiculously
another
crazy,
sexy dessert.
Sexy dessert.
Yeah. Vanilla beans in there. Yeah,
well,
that makes a big difference.
Just holds together. It's like...
Yeah, boo.
Yeah, exactly. Who is it that said... Someone... And I'm going to kill myself later when I remember this and I'm like, oh, crap, I should have given them full credit. But I remember hearing or reading somewhere that the perfect panna cotta should have the consistency of, like, of a woman's breath.
I think... I knew that's what you were going to say.
Is that like
because I feel like I've heard it. I don't know.
I feel like some famous chef or food writer or someone, or
I'm
maybe
sure
that's just a trope,
that, yeah.
A food
yeah.
trope. One of those.
A pretty good one.
It should be very soft and quivering, I guess.
Keep
it
digging
should
that
not,
hole,
yeah,
Jen.
It, okay, so I'll just stop. But it's definitely so often when you do see panna cotta, it's like a
and
hard
milky.
Yellow. Oh, okay.
Sorry,
okay.
This degenerated very quickly.
No, that's the perfect answer, I think. Quivering panna cotta.
Boobs
all right.
in the afternoon.
All right. So I guess that's unfortunately all the time that we have for you guys. No. But I can't wait to try out more of your baked, you know, not baked. What am I talking about? Candies. And check you guys out at the different markets and also online at littlebitsweets.com. You can order some holiday gifts right now. So before they get too crazy.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys.
Of course.
Thanks
for having us.
And thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.